You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome to My Vagina. This is Jesse Karen.
And I'm Rebecca Frank. And here we are again having our current historical, hysterical, infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched. Just kidding, you fools. It's definitely researched.
Oh, hey there. We're here with Zoe Bean today, and we're going to talk to her about what it's like to be a woman tattooer.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Very excited to talk to you guys.
You want to tell us a little bit about how you got started tattooing?
Sure. So I was teaching college, and I was teaching art, and was not surviving financially in New York City because they don't pay teachers anything. And so I was adjunct for 7 years because there is no tenure track for college professors anymore. And so I was bartending also. And I was working like 100 hours a week. And then I was also expected to show work and publish and all of the things that they expect college professors to do. And I hated it. I was getting tattooed a lot. And my boyfriend at the time was learning to tattoo, and he had been the floor guy at the shop where he was working, and he was ready to stop being the floor guy to start tattooing. And he's like, do you want to pick up a couple shifts, like being the floor guy? You could stop bartending.
What's a floor guy?
It's like the assistant at the shop.
Oh, cool.
It's like the person who, like, talks to clients and sets up and breaks down and just kind of is general helper.
Okay.
And I liked being at the shop more than anywhere else. Mm. And so I started doing that. And after a while, I just, my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, he, when we were getting together, he was really, really shy. And his whole thing was like, I'm not going to talk to you, but if you want to come back to the tattoo shop and tattoo me at like 3 o'clock in the morning after we've had some drinks, like that would be cool. And I was like, so I did my first like 3 or 4 tattoos on him.
I was about to ask, like, how you do the first one.
I mean, everybody's, like, that's not necessarily the typical story,
right.
but I did my first few tattoos on him, and I really liked it. And I knew pretty quickly that I wanted to learn how to tattoo, and I didn't want him to teach me because I didn't want people to think I had boned my way in. Like, I wanted credibility, and I knew as a girl, there weren't that many girls tattooing, and I knew that if my boyfriend was the one who, like, got me in, then I would never be taken seriously because that's just how it works. Yeah. And so it took me probably a year and a half. It took me a while to find someone to teach me because no one wanted to teach me because my boyfriend was a tattooer. And it was like, we don't want to touch the girlfriend of, you know, because we can't be mean to her.
Right. So how did you finally, who finally taught you?
A gentleman taught me who ended up opening a shop. Like, the unspoken old school rules of tattooing are you don't teach someone to tattoo until you own your own shop.
Okay.
And so he, a guy we were working with, was leaving the shop we were at to open his own shop, and all of the artists there were leaving with him. And he's like, now that I'm going to own my own shop, I can apprentice you. And I was like, cool.
Great.
And so he apprenticed me. Mostly he hung out at the bar while I didn't really learn much, and then and then I
just threw out of the nest, basically.
I mean, the first like official tattoo I ever did, he stood next to me for the first like 3 minutes. I pulled like one line and he looked and he said, okay, cool, you got this. I'll be at the bar if you need me. And I was kind of like, oh, holy shit. Like, I so don't got this. But,
oh my God.
But I was lucky because I worked with some great artists who were very generous with their time. And so I had help from other people.
What did the person that you were tattooing
say?
I mean, anyone who like,
they
who's
know.
Getting tattooed by someone who is an apprentice right. kind of gets what they signed up for. You know, I did free tattoos for the first year, and it's okay. like, you can't. So this was when MySpace was a thing. And I put on MySpace that I was offering free tattoos. And I got like 200 responses in the first like 2 days. And wow. it was like, I would like a back piece. I'm like, I'm sure you would. like I'm looking to do like hand size tattoos. Like yeah. not on your hand, but like yeah. hand size tattoos. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
So so I practiced on Willing and a lot of other tattooers because tattooers, like, there's a pay it forward kind of thing right. where it's like you have to practice on somebody. So I tattooed my husband a ton that first year I was tattooing, and he's very proud of those horrible tattoos. He loves to show them to everyone. He's like, oh, yeah, my wife's a tattooer. Check it out. I'm like, you're a jerk. I'm like, please put your leg away.
Put it away.
And he won't let me touch any of those tattoos now. He's like, no, they're amazing. They're horrible. You know, those people I tattooed in the first year, I put this out there recently that, like, if you got tattooed by me the first couple years I was tattooing, especially when I was an apprentice, if you'd like for me to fix those tattoos now, aww. I would be happy to do that because the idea that they're out there kind of keeps me awake at night.
Like, it's more for me than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, those are tattoos that have my name on them.
Oh, Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus, too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia.
Well, how long have you been in the industry?
I have been in the industry for 14 years. Right? Wow, that feels wrong.
I don't even want to ask if you've experienced sexism or discrimination in the tattoo world because, like, where
yes, of course.
Do women not feel that in any workforce?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But is there anything in particular about the tattoo industry? Like,
well, tattooing is having its own Me Too moment right now, which
really?
Is really interesting. So, cool. Forever, I would imagine, there's this power dynamic in tattooing where, as a client, you are very vulnerable, you are in some state of undress, you are often laying on a table, and you are often being tattooed by a dude who's substantially larger than you are, who's hurting you. And I have seen, I mean, when I was really young and getting tattooed, I saw so much like horrible behavior that I did nothing about because I was so young and scared and didn't really know how to address stuff. Mm. And then as I got older, I saw horrible things and became very disliked because I would say stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got labeled as, like, you know, crazy feminist. Like,
of course.
Oh, yeah. You know, or angry. I was like, why are you so angry?
Bitch,
why are you
feminazi.
So,
yeah.
Why are you
yeah.
so unhappy? Like, we just want people to work with that are happy. And I'm like, well, I'd be less happy if you would stop, like, assaulting your clients
right.
in front of me.
Yeah.
And, like, the clients don't seem to mind. I'm like, well, they're not really in a position. Like, if you're mid-tattoo mm. and someone is tattooing you and they do something inappropriate, it's, from a client perspective, it's real hard to vocalize that because you're very vulnerable and you're also, like, in the midst of getting something permanent and you're mm-hmm. invested in the outcome. So you're yeah. in a really vulnerable position. So now there's tattooers who have done horrible things, like, way beyond just, like, mild, like, taking advantage where they're, like, getting girls to take off more clothes than they mm. really need to and taking pictures of them. It's like,
what?
Like, that's, like, mild. Like,
what?
Like, there's a tattooer who's being called out on the internet who's been accused of, like, flat-out rape, like, by clients. And he's been accused by over 20 women, and he's still working.
Yeah,
like, he still has a place to work, which blows my mind. It's like, how can you be a shop owner and be aware that you have a predator working for you and still be like, yeah, this guy's okay?
Because we've seen so many times. I mean, I spend so much time thinking about how much each of our voices are worth,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like how many of us it takes to equal one talented or powerful person. And
well, who's a man.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, how much clout they have and how male careers seem to be basically immune to real ruin, and the people that end up getting affected are the ones that call them out in the first place.
Yesterday, I saw on Instagram, there's this woman her Instagram is like the Sweet Feminist,
yeah.
and she makes cakes.
Yeah,
you know this woman?
Yeah, we have her.
I love her.
I posted her and she follows us.
I love her.
Best.
She's the best. And she posted this whole thing about Louis C.K., how he is on like a like, I don't know, relaunch tour of his career. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you don't get to do these things and then go away for a year with your millions of dollars, lay low, and then come back to, like, standing ovation
before,
like,
you open your mouth.
It's at the same place where you were assaulting people. Yeah. Like, this is not, like, but society basically says, like, he's done his time, he's been punished enough, and there's no consequences. Mm-hmm. And so at least in tattooing now, what's happening with social media is that you do something and there are a couple of female tattooers that have been really aggressive about calling people out. My partner is one of them, and she's, she's just like nails, like she's relentless, and she's like, no, fuck this guy, he's a pervert, he's a scumbag, like, do not get tattooed by him, don't give him your money, because ultimately that's how you really punish someone, like, stop giving him your money,
right?
Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, if he doesn't have anybody lining up to get tattooed, then he can't hurt anybody.
So is this part of why you decided to open your own shop?
A big part of our motivation was we wanted to create a safe space that we could control. Mm. So, like, not just for ourselves, but for our clients. We have a lot of trans clients. We have a lot of LGBTQ clients. And we have a lot of women that we tattoo. And we never wanted a client of ours. Like, so I can control the kind of experience that I give a client. But what's happening in the shop around them, I have no control over. Right. And there were conversations, like peripheral conversations, about things like pronouns that were happening in the shop around trans clients that made them visibly uncomfortable. And I would never want a client to be in a situation where they have to experience that kind of conversation. Like, it should be known that if I'm going to come to this space and I'm going to make myself vulnerable, that I can trust you to take care of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we wanted to create a space that really allowed us to control things like that. And so we have, it's the two of us working there. My partner's name is Drew Linden. She's badass. And we have guests, and they're like incredibly well curated. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're choosing people we know really well, and we know that they're gonna kind of respect our vibe and make sure that it stays a safe space.
And, like, the mission of the shop, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. It feels real good in there. Yeah. Like, it's really exciting to go there.
Like, and feel safe and have, like, every experience tailored to that individual.
Well, and I think also people feel really good in there. Like, people come in there and they're excited. Like, I think you can feel it as soon as you walk in, and people are pretty stoked to be there.
I want
to
go.
I know. You should come. It's fun. I want to get a tattoo now.
This is how we get you.
Yeah.
We'll make you feel safe. You're like, oh, cool. I'm in.
It's so crazy. It's so simple.
It's amazing that's a unique thing, though. Yeah. Right? Like that. And it takes women to do that because men don't seem to
care.
I live in a house with men. I have a husband. I have a son. And my husband is a tattoo artist, and he is a totally solid guy and does right by his clients and, you know, does right by women in general. Mm. But it's one of those things where it's like, how do you exist in a space with men and still facilitate that safe space? And there definitely are men that kind of toe that line, but I feel like they're few and far between, at least in my experience.
Well, because you can still be a person who treats another person with respect and be either oblivious to the people around you or not be a good ally, because it is difficult for most people to stand up to another person and be like, what you're doing is wrong. Like, I know that this isn't my scenario or my situation, but what you're doing to this person is wrong. It's a really uncomfortable thing to do.
But I think, like, having a son is amazing because I have this small man to, like, mold and teach from from the very beginning. And so, like, it's amazing the lessons that we learn in kindergarten, how easily they're forgotten. Don't touch someone without their permission.
Yeah.
Like, when someone says stop, you stop right away. Like, these are things that we teach kids like when they're tiny.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way, boys unlearn all those lessons.
I literally walked up to one of my customers yesterday and I was like, excuse me, 6-inch voice, please. My first grade teacher used to say that.
It'd be nice to have either one, but it's like, I really want a little boy so that I can change the narrative, at least in one human being.
I mean,
about how you should treat people.
When we found out we were having a boy, I was really relieved because I think teenage girls are nightmares. And also I feel like, and I've had this conversation with friends of mine, like, being the mom of a daughter and, like, knowing what the world looks like, there's just so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously there's a lot of anxiety having a boy also, but I feel like I can equip my son to not be a predator, like, not be an asshole, be an ally to women, like,
right.
And in a way that I feel confident that he'll go out into the world and be a good guy, hopefully.
And then with, like, little girls, you have to juggle this constant battle of wanting to protect everything that they do, but also not stifling them.
And, well, and also being a teach boss. Them, yeah, teach them the world is a dangerous place without, like, killing all of their, like, enthusiasm for everything.
And, like, there's, like, that balance. And we were talking about this earlier, just this idea that, you know, so much responsibility is placed on women in general to keep themselves safe or to make sure that they know self-defense or to protect their friends or, you know, and how frustrating that is because it's not, we shouldn't be tasked with protecting ourselves from other people's bad behavior, even though we have to be, because if we weren't, we'd all be fucked. So it's
literally,
like, you know, yeah, totally. Yeah. So it's like thinking about how you would even raise a daughter to be active instead of reactive, you know, trying to strike that, like, how do you strike that balance when you're talking about stuff and to be like, you know, I want you to go out in the world and I want you to feel like you are owning the streets just as much as anybody else and you're as deserving of success as anybody else and all of these other things while also being like, but be men safe, can be kind safe. Of, be kind of careful. Yeah.
But also here's the pepper spray.
Yeah, exactly.
But and it's your, like, rape whistle. It's also like you want your kids to believe that the world is a magical place, like that it, like, anything is possible and you don't want to rob them of that magic too young.
Right, yeah.
I was curious because I have a lot of friends, and I personally think mostly girlfriends, that tell me because of their tattoos, people feel entitled to grab you or touch you or lift up some part of your clothing without
Someone your touched consent. Me on the street outside on my way here tonight.
Wow.
A gentleman, I was putting That's money so fast. I was putting money in the meter, as you do when you're parking.
Yeah.
And so I was standing at the meter and I, like, naively wasn't paying attention to the people around me because I was focusing on what I was doing.
Yes, this is your fault.
And, I'm wearing a skirt and my legs are completely tattooed and this guy came up behind me and pulled up the back of my skirt and touched my leg.
Oh my God.
And I...
Did you kick him?
I didn't kick him, but my reaction, I treat people that do that like they're my son's age. So I turn around and I was like, no thank you, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my God.
You're touching me and you're a stranger. You don't touch strangers. Like, really, like, you need to be told that I'm a stranger and you don't touch me, because, like, if you're touching me without my permission, you're assaulting me. Like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just trying to give you a compliment. Usually we give compliments with our mouth.
You're scaring me, dude.
Like, you're touching me and you're a stranger. Not okay. But this happens all the time. And I hear this from, like, younger tattooed girls a lot. And this is, like, the most undressed I would ever be. Like, this is the most skin I would ever show. Like, I'm basically a never nude.
Is it because of your tattoos?
No, I've always been this way.
Okay.
Like, I've never met a cardigan I didn't like. Like, I'm, like, a person that likes to be clothed.
Right.
But being tattooed has definitely heightened my sort of self-consciousness because people do react. It's interesting, like, I hadn't been in Park Slope in a long time and I got more attention here, like, this evening than I have in a while, and I don't know what that's about, but being heavily tattooed is not that unique anymore.
Right, that's what I'm wondering.
But it's still, it's an invitation. I mean, I think anything you do to your appearance is an invitation for people to talk to you, and generally I find that most people have excited curiosity or they're thinking about getting a tattoo, and, like, that stuff I'm totally fine with. You want to come up to me on the street and be like, oh my God, I'm really interested in your tattoos, great, fine, like, here's my card, feel free to shoot me an email, like, we can talk. But as soon as you put your hands on me, or like, the other thing I get a lot, and I get this less as I get older, but I got this a lot when I was younger, it's like, why would a young girl ruin herself with so much stuff? Like, and it's always, like, that older white dude who feels like it's okay to comment on choices, your appearance, like, all that stuff. And my response to that was always, like, well, I'm not really interested in being an ambassador to my life choices for you. Like, I'm not here for you. Like, fuck off. Like, no, I'm not going to tell you anything. Like, I don't have to justify anything that I do to you, a stranger on the subway.
Right.
But it happens a lot.
And nobody asks him to justify.
Well, I asked him. Yeah. I'm like, why did you get that stupid fucking haircut? Like, do you want to talk about it? Like, do you want to tell me, like, what your thinking was there? Because I don't understand how you could move through the world like that.
Right.
Like if we're just going to comment on each other's appearance off the top of our head, let's
that
do
terrible
that.
Terrible comb over is not fooling anybody.
Right, like, you know, like, what the fuck? But
loafers, really?
But I feel like, so my husband is, if not more, he's more tattooed than I am, I think. Yeah, he's more tattooed than me. And his, like, neck is tattooed. but he's 6 feet tall and kind of looks like tattooed Santa. So he's like a long white beard, and nobody touches him without his permission ever. Right. Never. Yeah. People don't. I mean, and people are less likely to talk to him even about his tattoos.
Or to ask him why he did that to himself.
Oh, never. That's never happened.
Yeah.
Unless it was like my dad. You know.
Right, because he has control over his own decisions. Whereas,
well, because
like,
he's a man.
Exactly. Yeah. And so women have to make all of their decisions through the prism of culture and
what society
thinks.
He's definitely been asked when we're together. We were together and a dude was like, you let your girl look like this?
Yo.
And he was like, well, she's in charge, so she decides. Like, and he's that's his response. Like, yeah. We had a contractor tell us that he would prefer to deal with the man of the house. And my husband was like, well, look, she's going to write the checks. And so if you can't talk to her, then you can't work for us. So, like, you figure it out. And, like,
this man of yours?
He's a good guy.
Yeah,
he's a good
right?
one. Does he have a brother?
He doesn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. For years, my dad has been pressuring me to open a shop. He wanted me to have my own business. My dad feels like you're not financially independent until you own your own business is a big thing with him. Mm-hmm. But it was always like, well, when Sweetie's ready to open a business, you guys will let me know and I'll help you guys out. And it was kind of like, Sweetie's my husband. Why right. is it on him to decide when we're ready? Like, yeah. What if I want to open a business without him, which is what mm-hmm. ended up happening. And my dad was kind of like, it took him a minute. Like, he was kind of like, oh, you're going to do this without him? How does he feel about it? Well, I was like, you know, he feels great about it. He's super supportive. Yeah. This is the right decision for our family right now.
And we've obviously already had this conversation among the two of
right.
us.
Right, like, I don't make big life decisions without talking to him.
When you're in a relationship, you're a team. So you have conversations with people, but it would be more along the lines of, hey, I want to open up a shop. Like, let's make that work.
Yeah.
Not, I have to ask you right. for permission. Because
no.
that's
no.
not what a team is. It's like, hey, I want to do this thing. How can we support each other for that?
Right. It's like, the way our relationship always is like, this is going to put a strain on our family. Like, and this is what that could potentially look mm-hmm. like. Do you feel okay with taking on
right.
this extra burden that I'm going to basically force you to take on right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. How do we make it work?
Right. And he's always like, yes, absolutely, whatever you need. Ugh. Like, because he's the man.
How did you pick the name for your, like, can you tell us a little bit more about your studio and how you picked the name and everything?
So
like
the studio is called the New Moon Studio. Mm-hmm. And my partner is super into astrology, and I am definitely, I'm not into it. I just don't know anything about it. And I've always been sort of maybe shyly judgmental about like oovy groovy stuff. And so we were trying to come together with a name that worked for both of us. And one of the things that she has given to me is that my son and I, every day we set intentions. Mm-hmm. So like my son holds a piece of rose quartz and he talks about what he's going to do to make the day a great day. And it's often about like drinking lots of water. Somehow he decided that that's what makes a great day.
I mean, it does.
Yeah, he's going
right.
to yeah, he's going to drink lots of water and listen to his parents.
Wow. Was that yours?
No, I mean that because he knows that's like the big thing we talk about.
Yeah.
It's like
oh, okay.
listening. So she often talks about setting intentions around the new moon. Like at the very beginning of a cycle, you set your intentions and you want your intentions to be super positive. Mm-hmm. And so that felt to us like a really good place to start where yeah. it was like we were setting intentions to have this really positive space. And so it just kind of organically felt like the right thing name-wise.
Awesome. Because when I read the name, I was like, that's like so perfect for like a woman run studio. Just, yeah. It makes me think of like cycling and I don't know, like acceptance and
yeah.
feminine divine.
Wow.
Have you ever stopped tattooing a man because they treated you a certain way?
Yes. When I was very new to tattooing, I had a gentleman. Oh, this guy was so disgusting. He was getting his arm tattooed and I had him in an armrest, like in a chair with an armrest. And so he was like twisted where his arm was behind him. So he was facing away from me. And when you tattoo someone often, you're kind of straddling the armrest a little bit because you have to get really close to them. So like my legs were on either side of his arm and he kept trying to like grab me like between
oh,
the legs.
God.
And I couldn't tell if he was doing it on purpose or it was like he was like twitching or like it was hard to tell if it was an intentional thing. And I had only been tattooing for probably like 6 months. Like I was 6 months out of my apprenticeship and I was working in like a really sketchy shop where I had like no support. And he did it like two or three more times when it became very apparent that he was doing it on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I just took my one hand that I had gloves on, and I just grabbed him by his fresh tattoo and like squeezed his fresh tattoo as hard as I can and like pushed him out of his seat and was like, "You're done. Like, yes. We're done." And
slow clap.
Yeah, but it right? was like, it was like I had so much adrenaline. Like, I was so scared because mm-hmm. he was so much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And I realized as soon as I like stood up that like he could get super pissed and just like beat the shit out of me or whatever. He could have a weapon on him. Who knew? Like, I just got really, really freaked out. And after that, I always had a hammer in my station, which in retrospect probably wasn't the best weapon, but it felt like, and my husband and I talked a lot about my escape route. Like, what would I do in a situation where the shop was not a safe place? Where would I go? How would I get there? What was the plan? Because he was working, like, I was in the West Village. He was in the East Village. He's like, there's no way I'll get to you to do anything to help you. So you have to figure out, like, where are you going to go? Because I was working, initially when I started tattooing, I was working the 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. shift.
Jesus.
And so, like, you know.
I've seen so much shit.
It's like crazy shit. I mean, I saw a woman get tattooed. So they put my station in the window of the shop because it was a novelty. It was a woman tattooing. And people could walk by and watch a woman tattoo people. God. It was very exciting. And so it was like being like a monkey in a zoo. Mm-hmm. And I was tattooing this woman. She's laying on a table. She was pretty drunk. And there's a man outside, like pressing his face up against the window. And she gestured to him to come inside. No. And he did. And then he sat down next to her and they proceeded to talk. And then they were like, by the time I finished her tattoo, they were basically like making out. And she totally went home with him. And I was like, this woman is going to wake up in the morning with like a fresh tattoo in a strange man's bed. Like, what the fuck happened to me? Like, how did this happen to me? But like,
now I'm thinking about how I was looking through missed connections earlier, and I was like, what if that one came up? We once fucked after you got a tattoo.
Right, like, I picked you up while you were getting tattooed. Like, a bunch of people in the tattoo industry were like, this is good. This is going to, like, toughen you up. Mm-hmm. And, like, in retrospect, like, I don't want to be toughened up. Like,
I mean, it's also, like, what so many people don't think about, and, like, what men don't think about is what is an environment that will, like, quote unquote, toughen up a dude is incredibly physically and emotionally unsafe for a woman. Like, it's beyond, oh, you'll figure it out. You'll learn how to be in the industry. It's like, no, we're going to actually put you in danger. And then, because that's what it boils down to. And it's a totally different thing. And that's part of, I guess, being sort of like a pioneer in your industry.
I mean, I was definitely not a pioneer
in my
industry.
Well, I'm going to call you a pioneer.
There were women who were pioneers in my industry, right. And I was not one of them.
I see a fair amount of women tattooing.
Yeah, now I think that, like, tattooing is one of the interesting industries where, because it's not a corporate thing and there is no structure, like, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh, you get promoted to this and then you get promoted to this. There are now a lot of women tattooing, and in a lot of ways now it's better to be a woman as a tattoo artist because women want to get tattooed by women. Mm-hmm. Men want to get tattooed by women. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like it's much harder to be a guy tattooing now than it is being a woman. The tattooing has shifted towards a more customer service geared industry. People want, it's the tattoo is very important, but the experience is also really important, and they don't want to be in a seedy shop, and they don't want to be intimidated, and they don't want to be treated like shit. They don't want to be made to feel stupid. They want to have an experience where they walk away feeling like that was great. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt heard and safe, and I got the tattoo I wanted. And those all feel like small things, but as far as the way the industry has changed, it's a pretty big shift.
Yeah.
I have a poop emoji tattooed on me.
Oh, like, my God.
I love that emoji.
Yeah. I have a little poop emoji.
Oh, my God.
Like, I had a really bad week, you know?
You need
like, and sometimes adorable. You need to, like, change things around a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't have to be that serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the more tattooed you get, the less precious it becomes. And you just start being like, yeah, sure, poop on me. Maybe I should probably rephrase that.
No.
No,
nope.
Never.
No. Nope. You worked with a paramedical tattooer.
Yes.
Okay.
Jesse.
It's an areola reconstruction specialist. So, like, I'm just curious
about that. So after someone's
had
a mastectomy, there's generally, the way a plastic surgeon deals with a mastectomy is that the nipple is removed and then the plastic surgeon will tattoo the nipple back on. So they create scar tissue and then they tattoo over that scar tissue to reform. So they're like basically manufacturing a nipple mm-hmm. for someone who has lost their nipple. But plastic surgeons do a lot of different things. They don't have a lot of hours in the skin. They don't really understand the way tattoo ink heals and how to match somebody's natural skin tone. And so there are now tattoo artists who are learning how to do this, who are specializing in this. And Jessie Fora, who works at Eight of Swords, is one of them. And she's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, she's amazing. Like, she's really an artist. And she's, you know, been tattooing for 15 plus years. And so she really understands how pigment works in the skin. And so how to give someone the most naturalistic.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that must make people feel so good.
I think it's also, and I think it's like for some people, like taking that last step of reconstruction out of the doctor's office, it sort of makes it it's a little bit more empowering. It's a little bit more like, it's, I don't know, there's something about coming to a tattoo shop versus coming to a doctor's office that just feels way better to come to a tattoo shop.
I'm sure they're a lot more empathetic than like the sterile feeling of a
hospital. I like to think so. And my mom had breast cancer and she went through reconstruction, and I know that process is pretty brutal. So and the way Jessie's doing it, it's just much kinder, it's much friendlier,
right?
And she also works in a hospital situation to do it, but she also does it at the shop. So
okay,
that's so fucking cool. I don't know what you know about any of this stuff. We got a question from a listener named Cole. And she was super, super interested about different kinds of like genital piercing, tattooing, all this kind of stuff. And she was wondering whether there's like a history of tattooing, like genital tattooing, or if it's something that's come around more recently now that tattooing in general is more acceptable or accepted.
I mean, I don't know the answer to that. Like, I can't say with any certainty about what the history of genital tattooing is. I know that as tattooing has kind of entered the mainstream, things that people never would ask for before, like face tattoos, that was like, no. Like, if you asked for a face tattoo, you would be forcibly removed from the shop.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and it was like a sign of like mental illness. Like, it was like, this person is not right in the head because, you know, clearly they are insane enough to tattoo their face. And now all these 20-somethings are getting their face tattooed. So I think, like, as tattooing has entered the mainstream, people have to be more and more outrageous to kind of push that envelope. I know that I've been asked to do genital tattoos since the very beginning of my career. It was mostly creepy dudes in the beginning because I was, like, young girl. And so, you know, you want me to touch your dick? Of course. That makes total sense.
That's like an extreme way to get a girl to touch your penis.
Totally. And also a very unpleasant one.
Yeah.
And I have a $5,000 handling fee. So, like, yeah, let's do it. Like, wow. Come on.
Me too.
But, yeah. That feels right. That feels right to me. That feels totally right to me.
Yeah.
But I've been asked by women to tattoo different areas of their genitals. I've only done one genital tattoo, and I did it on a woman who was a cover-up, and she was an abuse survivor, and she had her ex's initials, and it felt...
Oh, God.
My husband actually did a cover-up on a woman's genitals for exactly the same reason. I don't think she was an abuse survivor, the person my husband tattooed, but it just felt like in that situation, it was appropriate to do it. But in general, I would say no to most of that stuff.
So you've never done a penis?
I've never done a penis.
I should ask that question differently.
I mean, I think you asked it perfectly. I have never tattooed a penis. No. No.
There's always time.
Yeah. I mean, right. I'm still relatively young. I mean, if someone wanted to spend the money, my issue with all tattoos of this nature, genital tattoos, I've seen many tattooed penises. Sorry, Mom. And I've never looked at one and thought, wow, that's beautifully artistic. Like, what an incredible tattoo. What an incredible, like, what a piece of artistry that is. But I mean, I think, like, tattooing can be super transformative. And I think, like, for women and for men also, but I find that this is definitely true for me, is that in some ways you're claiming your body in a really specific way. You take ownership over your body. You get to decide what you look like, and that, it, for a lot of people, is not the case. And so like getting to say like, okay, well, this part of my body that I'm not crazy about, I get to decide what it looks like and maybe feel better about it. I think that's amazing. I feel like that becomes a bigger issue when you talk about genital tattoos, because it feels like there could be bigger problems happening there. But maybe not problems, but just like, what is the motivation behind wanting to do this? And that's right. Where my hesitation always comes in.
Have you ever tattooed over C-section scars?
Tons of them. I have one. It's awesome. Scars, I've tattooed over all kinds of scars. Scars are really hard to tattoo over. The skin is super unpredictable. Mm. So if I'm tattooing your body, for the most part, I can predict how your skin is going to react to being tattooed based on where it is on your body and what kind of skin you have. And most of that stuff I can sort of deduce from experience and looking at you. But with scar tissue, all bets are off. There's like the skin is so damaged that there's no way to know how it's going to take the ink. And I find that more often than not, when you tattoo over a scar, it tends to be an arrow pointing at the scar than a camouflage. Like people think that if you tattoo over the scar, you won't see the scar anymore. But instead, it's like, what's wrong with that tattoo? Why is there this big lumpy thing in the middle of it? And I find that sometimes tattooing around a scar to kind of like take your attention away from it does more damage. As far as distracting. Not actually going over the scar. Right. And like, you know, sort of putting something pretty like next to it.
Right.
Is usually a better way to go.
Oh, okay.
To like draw
look
the
at this
eye.
Shiny
yeah,
thing
you're,
over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're drawing the attention away from the scar and as opposed to like pointing it out to people. The respected wisdom is that you have to wait at least 6 years before you tattoo over a scar. Like it should be your skin continues to change underneath the surface even after your skin is healed. So that you shouldn't, like if you have something that happened like 6 months ago, it's not a good idea to tattoo over it because it's still changing underneath.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you can't really, like as the artist, you wouldn't be able to, you know, say what that will look like going forward.
It's going to change for sure. Like, yeah. I mean, all tattoos change over time, but that could change very dramatically in a short time.
Right.
Dude, you got a tattoo. So did you, dude?
No.
Oh.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! What about mine?
Dude, what does mine say?
Sweet! What about mine?
Dude!
What does mine say?
Sweet!
You idiot! Only come to Jango Sanzinger! Your tattoo says dude. Your tattoo says sweet. Got it.
What your top three pet peeves are as a tattoo artist.
Oh, God.
Ooh, that's good.
My top three pet peeves. Body odor is a big one.
Yeah,
Brad,
deodorant.
No, you're fine. No, trust me, you're fine. Body odor, I think, is my, like, okay, so you're going to get your foot tattooed. Please don't jog to the tattoo shop in your 7-year-old running shoes and then take off your shoe and put it in my face. Not super cool. Mm. That is definitely a pet peeve of mine.
Have you ever been like, go to the bathroom and wash your
foot in
the sink?
I have hosed people down in alcohol. Like, hosed. Like, I dumped an entire bottle of alcohol on a dude's foot and it did not make a difference. Like, it was like...
When was the last time he washed his foot?
I don't know. I have definitely put peppermint chapstick on my upper lip like a coroner. Like, I have totally done that before. Because you get real close to people and like people are pretty gross in general. They're pretty gross. And so I listened to your episode about body hair and which I have like 7,000 questions. I'm so interested in that. But like part of tattooing is removing whatever hair is in the area that you're tattooing, and everyone has hair everywhere.
Yeah.
You're human. That's part of it. But a big pet peeve of mine is when people try to shave themselves before they come to the shop. So like a dude who has never removed his body hair shaves his own chest for the very first time, and then he comes into the shop and has like destroyed his body because he doesn't know how. And it's like, he's like, I helped you. And I'm like, I didn't need your help. Like, I needed zero assistance. And
the opposite, actually.
You did the opposite. Oh, and now God. You can't get tattooed today because this has to heal before I can tattoo over it. Like, you like literally ripped your skin apart. My three top pet peeves about people is body odor.
Just all three. All body three. Odor, body
I think
odor,
so.
Body odor.
I think so. And people's bad behavior in general. You know, I mean, people are tough.
Yeah.
If you've ever worked in customer service, you know people are tough.
Are they better though than in bars because you have a needle?
Sometimes. I mean, I think when you, hurt people, when they're vulnerable, You see a side to them. As soon as you put your hands on them, you're touching them, there's an intimacy. You see a part of them that they probably don't show to their bartender. Mm-hmm. And for most people, they are lovely and wonderful, and you get to know them, and it's awesome. And for a small percentage of people, they feel threatened and they become aggressive or like verbally abusive or just nasty. I had a woman talking on her cell phone while I was tattooing her recently. And I charge by the hour. And when someone answers their phone, and people do this universally, when they you can hear the conversation. So the person on the other end asks them, what are you doing? And they say nothing. And it's like, this isn't the most important thing you're doing today.
Right.
Like, this feels like it should be like the most important thing you're doing today. And so I just roll my chair back and wait. Uh-huh. But the clock is ticking, like I'm waiting. And if you want to talk on the phone for 15 minutes, that's totally your call. But I'm going to sit here and wait. And this girl's like, oh, no, you can keep going. And I'm like, oh, no, I really can't. And she's like, no, you can. It's cool. And I'm like, it's not cool. Not at all.
Get off your phone.
And she was like, no, really, I'm going to insist. I'm like, no, really, I'm going to insist. Like, and I just kept repeating everything she said back to me. But it, like this, we went back and forth, and I was like, I can't tattoo you while you're on the phone. She's like, no, you can. And then I just kind of made the gesture to hand her the machine. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you knew like how to. And she was just like, oh, okay, I have to call you back.
Wow.
And I was like, thanks.
And how was the rest of that session?
Quiet. It was quiet.
Do you want to plug your Instagram?
Or? Sure. You can find me at Zoe Bean Tattoo. Basically across all social media platforms, ZoeBeanTattoo.com. And the studio is the New Moon Studio on Instagram. Check us out. We're doing cool stuff.
Go get a tattoo.
Yeah, come get tattooed. Yay. It's a real fun place.
That was great. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here.
God damn it.
Doesn't sound right when I do it.
I know. Places you can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
We're trying to get 1,000 followers to tell your friends. And Twitter at Welcome to My Vag.
We also have a website, welcometomyvagina.com, which leads you to my YouTube page. Also, Welcome to My Vagina.
Uh-huh. And there's a blog section where I have posted a couple of things, but we're also looking for writers. So if you have interesting opinions, if you are a person who wants to break into writing and wants to share your voice, we're looking for diverse opinions, all sorts of different people.
We're basically looking for anyone who's not a cisgender man.
Yeah.
We definitely want you guys to be allies, but right now we're looking for other voices.
Yeah. And also we love our white women peers, but we're two white women sitting here, so we'd love more diverse voices.
Also, thank you so much to our producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer of More Banana Productions. Please check out all of the work from this all-women network, including World Stealers, There Will Be Porn, I'm Listening with Anita Flores, and Awkward Sex in the City with Natalie Wall, which is coming to you in July.
Yeah, More Banana Production is killing it.
Yeah, guys, we're kind of taking over the world. And don't forget to review us.
And subscribe and tell your friends.
Yeah.
And we're going to have merch soon.
Merch.
I don't know why that word always makes me think of Merkins.
Ooh.
Merkin merch.
Also, check out all of Rebecca's writing at franklyrebecca.com.
Dun-da-da!
Da-da-da!
Yeah! All right.
See you next
Tuesday. See you next Tuesday.